Ladies and gentlemen, everything in between.
Once again, I'm your host, Roscoe. Welcome back to Leave Your Powers at the Door with my co-host Chris. And Chris.
My power for the day.
What's your power for the day?
You have the big news, fool.
Be back there. You, Roscoe. Hi, Chris.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Leave Your Powers at the Door. I am your temporary host, the producer, with your co-host, the Chris. I'm taking the back.
With Chris.
And Chris, you finally got around to seeing Thor.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Roscoe loved it. What do you think?
I mean, it was good. It was on the same track as Ragnarok. Mm-hmm. So like Thor 1 and 2. But Ragnarok and Love and Thunder, definitely an improvement. It's like they finally learned the character, but they did leave a lot lacking.
Okay.
I kind of feel the way I feel about Multiverse of Madness. Mm-hmm. There was a lot more. Like, we're in the time of 3-hour movies now. Let's just admit it.
A good movie to me is an hour and 30 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
You got somewhere to be?
Yeah, away from here.
No, like, all right. So if I feel like now I don't want you to force it into 3 hours, but Endgame, Infinity War, both ran in that 3-hour range.
I fell asleep in both of them.
How?
I woke up, the Infinity War, the first time I watched it, I woke up to Spider-Man evaporating.
Where did you fall asleep?
In the movie theater. You know, the movie theater still have like the lounge chairs and they'll bring your drinks and dinner.
But what I mean is, where in the movie? You fell asleep when he showed up to help Iron Man. And
I feel like they were
you
in
woke
Wakanda.
Up and you, I don't feel good.
I feel like they were in Wakanda at some point. And that's when I was kind of like, I'm fighting it. I honestly wanted to stand up and walk to like a corner and stay standing just so I wouldn't fall asleep. But I thought that would be a little suspect in America during these times.
You can't do too much. So yeah, if you're not an old man.
No. I was in a lounge, plush leather lounge chair. I had ordered like 2 drinks. I had dinner. So I'm sitting there like, this is why I want
to. Wait a minute. Did you go to the movies or are you at somebody's house?
No,
I had dinner in a plush recliner chair.
Yeah,
drinking
the
beer.
Movie theater. Yeah, the
yeah
movie
I know
theater.
They do that, but I mean, I'm a classic movie goer.
Like, I should have done it that
I'm
way.
I'm going to get the sour worm, some popcorn, a slushy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to drink a beer that if you're sitting still, you're going to get sleepy.
I went with sliders.
Get full on carbs.
Big steak fries.
You basically were begging for a coma.
No, and I had one. I woke up to Spider-Man dissolving. I looked to the left. I looked to the right. And I said, why the fuck didn't y'all wake me up?
Speaking of which. So we're in Thor Love and Thunder.
Yeah, yeah.
And during the trailers, my wife asked me to go out and get her some snacks because when we first came in, the line was so long. It's like, there's no way I'm waiting in this line.
Yeah, you got to get
so I went seats. Back out there and the line was just as long. So I came back. I was like, F this. But like the couple sitting next to us, he had sent his girlfriend out to get snacks.
Uh-huh.
And when I came back and saw her sitting down, I realized why. Like, he was watching the movie. This chick was on Facebook and Instagram, like, watching videos with audio during the movie.
No one like wanted to nudge her and say, hey, turn it
throw it
across the room.
I gave it that side eye. What's the guy's name in Wakanda with the rhinos? The guy from Get Out. I gave it a side eye. And she muted her phone, but she kept doing whatever she was doing. I couldn't see the screen. It's so, like, when it's that dark, it's just bright.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like a flashlight in my face.
Like, God. And we have assigned seats now. You know how they do it now.
Yeah,
like, like, I can't get up and move away from you.
Like, you got to figure out something, Thor.
Well, yeah, that definitely took away from the movie experience, but we're not going to blame that one on Thor.
So that took away from the awesomeness that is Thor.
Well, all right. So what really took away from the movie itself was we're watching, I know it's called Thor Love and Thunder, but it could just as easily been called Thor and Gore the God Butcher. You know, like, because the movie was about him. And even me and my wife, we came out of the movie, like, I didn't feel like Gore was a villain.
Yeah.
We came out of the movie empathizing with him a lot. Like, his whole family died, and he almost died because the gods were neglecting him. Yeah. And they were being selfish. And then they had the nerve to mock him to his face.
So you deserve to get killed.
Yeah, and then if a sword talks to me and floats into my hand while you're choking me to death, what do you think I'm going to do?
Yeah, use it.
And the sword's like, you know what? If you're going to use me, you just got to kill all the gods. He's like, what a kawiki dink. I want to kill the gods anyways. Like, it was like the perfect matchup. Like, because like, he already had that vendetta before the sword corrupted him.
Yeah. So like, did the sword corrupt him, or did he just work with the sword?
Yeah, I think
it's
just like
the perfect match.
Yeah, it was like the perfect match. And like, you know, they were celebrating, like, the god that he killed, the first god he killed, was celebrating killing the original owner of the sword. Yeah. Or the previous owner of the sword. Uh-huh. And I think the only reason they were able to take him down, he was a version that was corrupted by the sword.
Okay.
Gore was in agreement with the sword, and that's what made him so much more powerful.
Yeah.
But this is what I'm saying. This is what I think lost in the movie. He was Gore the God Butcher. How many cows does the butcher kill in a day? You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to see more of Gore actually killing the gods, like battles. And that's why I say, okay, throw me another hour and you got time to have that.
Mm, kind of like Wanda. Who? How she killed.
Oh, yeah.
You want to see that. Like, I want to go down the list, killing one by one.
But that also happened to Wanda, where apparently there was an original script where she killed Mordo, the MCU Mordo that we know, at the very beginning of the movie. And they said the little bucket with the apples in it, when Doctor Strange came to talk to her, had his head in there.
Oh.
So from off gate, it's like, because, you know, like, he thought Wanda was going to help. And that was part of the reveal when he found out Wanda was the villain. Mm-hmm. Then he sees Mordo's head when the illusion comes down. He's like, oh. Whoops.
Oh, wow.
So, like, and that's another example, like, there were more scenes like that. Like, Wanda wreaked havoc.
Oh, yeah.
In that movie, and a lot of it was cut out. And the movie's only, what, 2:15?
Yes.
Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah.
So, it could have been another 3-hour movie. And you got more of Wanda, like, just going killing the multiverse.
Yeah, I think it was a good amount of time, though. It could have been a little shorter.
You could have seen more of the other realities that him and America fell through.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, if they showed the Living Tribunal for like a split second.
Yeah.
You have to go back and watch on Disney Plus and pause it to see that at this point. Like, they showed a universe that looked like bees were in charge somehow. I don't know. Like, it was a lot of little things. There's another one where
paint universe. They were just like different colors of paint. Yeah.
And she said, you know, don't want to get stuck there. Cause
they went into cartoon mode.
The one where the Stark drones from Spider-Man 3
were
everywhere, and it looked like everything was tech.
Yeah.
So it's like either a superior Iron Man or Ultron universe kind of thing.
Yeah.
So like, it was so much more that you could have spent just a few minutes in those other realities to see some more. The evil Doctor Strange that they had the music battle with, you could have showed a little more of his story, because he was a villain behind the scenes. Because he did say, like, when Doctor Strange was having nightmares of him walking off a cliff, he's like, that was me killing the other Doctor Strangers. So you could have shown some of that, and even had some battles, like, to show that the different Doctor Strangers, you know, like the different levels, the different things he can do.
But that would have, to me, that would have been a little more in line with like the Multiverse of Madness.
That's what it was called.
Yeah, what I'm saying, but to show the multiple universes and the madness that's occurring, I feel like that would have been a little more aligned than what we got. We got really one universe that kind of had its off spurts of different
and
universes.
Big miss opportunity.
Yeah.
The Thanos fight. The Illuminati killed Thanos on Titan.
Oh.
Where you remember the Guardians, Doctor Strange, Spider-Man, and Iron Man fought Thanos.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they lost the time stone.
Yeah.
But the Illuminati actually defeated him on Titan. And I still maintain, I think that Captain Carter took that kill shot.
Mm.
Because when you look at all the heroes, you know, Professor X ain't get up and grab a sword.
No, he didn't get up. I hope he didn't get up.
Black Bolt clearly only uses his voice.
Yeah.
and
whispers it.
Captain Marvel has the cosmic energy. She's flying around shooting beams. So either Mr. Fantastic or Captain Carter were the ones who actually took that kill shot. And I think it was Captain Carter.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, unless Professor X got in his head and made him stab himself.
I don't think he would have been strong enough.
Yeah, I don't think Thanos is that weak mentally too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Because
I agree.
Wanda got in her head and killed him. She got in her own head.
Yeah, he got in Wanda's head and she killed him in his, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like she killed him in his head
and in real life.
His body just demorphed.
Yeah, that's what they say. If you die in the Matrix, yeah, like if your brain believes you're dead, yeah, you're dead. It's over.
Yeah, that's, yeah. They say that. They say that in dreams also. It can happen. But they also say if you die in a dream, your adrenaline will wake you up. You Which is why people have that dream. They're falling, and right before they hit the ground, they wake up.
Yeah, that's you won't die. You won't reach that point where you're actually dead in your dream.
Yeah.
But in new science says the reason you don't die in your dream is because your brain can't process or have any understanding what would happen next. So you can't have your dream can't continue after you die. So what else are you gonna do besides wake up? Because you don't know what would be next.
So you're saying every dream that you have is something your brain has processed as being a possibility?
Yeah. That's what they say, like, things you think about during the day, like your subconscious thoughts, things that you don't know you're thinking about, your brain makes sense of it in your dreams and compiles it into an event.
Ah.
And you experience it. And then that's kind of how you get rid of the junk information in your brain.
But, yeah. I was told by a, I think she went to school for psychology, but she said that dreams are not necessarily what you're dreaming, but the feeling that you have behind the dream. For example, if you are afraid in your dream and you wake up, think about something that's happening in your life that matches that fear or that feeling that you had in your dream. And that's what your brain was processing. It was just discussing that fear or that feeling in a different way.
Mm.
So, yeah. Really, really cool shit. All right. I feel like we got a bunch on our list today and we need to get through a few more items. What do we have?
So, Beast, Idris Elba.
Beast.
I don't think I've ever seen him in a bad movie.
I'm trying to think. I don't think so.
I mean, as bad as DC has been doing with the live action movies, the one that he was in was pretty okay. They brought Starro out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it was epic. John Cena got a whole series off of it.
Not really.
Right. So, I mean, yeah, and then what's Beast? It looks like, you know, maybe, and this is just what I'm grabbing from the trailer, connecting the dots. His wife passed away, and they go back to her homeland, which is apparently somewhere in the African Sahara.
Uh-huh.
There's a giant lion out there. And maybe they go on safari with a guide, and they just bump into the wrong lion. They bump into Mufasa on a bad day.
I feel like this is Scar right after he took things over. Anybody that comes this way has got to die. In the trailer, though, it shows Idris fighting this lion. That lion was huge.
Yes.
He was on top of Idris, and Idris just punched.
But what else are you gonna do? I mean, as useless as it may be, I think I would still punch too. I would try,
but
you probably would jab and come back missing the fist.
Because then you're on your back on the ground. You can't draw back to punch because the ground is right behind you. You can only do a jab. That's all you got.
Yeah,
and that's a big ass lion about to eat you. I don't see that ending very well.
I mean, what they say in the survival shows is if you do get attacked by any large animal and like you're to the point where it's actually attacking you,
because
there
are the
other things you do to stay away from it. You go for the nose or the eyes.
Okay.
Because the soft tissue is sensitive. It doesn't often get touched. So it's going to be the most painful to them. And if they are a creature, which it looks like that lion might be an example of, that hasn't been challenged much, that pain might be enough to kind of ward him away and get you some space. He's going to come back.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to come back like the Reverend.
That's what this movie kind of reminds me of.
You think so?
Yeah, it's that just with a lion as opposed to a bear.
Yeah, and then what the not Deep Blue Sea. That's Sabriel. But the one with a chick was out surfing and she went into a shark's feeding ground by accident.
Yeah, I know.
And that shark took it personal. That's the same kind of movie, right?
Yeah.
The Roscoe said this. It's very few stories that just keep retelling it and changing the details.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. So how do you see that ending?
Oh, man. How do I see it ending? All right, this is what I'm going to give you. Of course, the help dies.
Of course.
Towards the end of the movie, it's just Idris and his daughters.
Uh-huh.
This lion's not going to give up.
Mm-hmm.
Idris makes a sacrifice play, killing him and the lion, and then his daughters go on to find safety after that.
To be orphans because the wife is also already dead?
It's a sad movie, man. Look, all I'm saying is, you not going to tell me that a man beat a lion one-on-one.
No, he may.
Okay, so if you're paying attention to the trailer,
mm-hmm.
there's a part where they crash the Jeep and they're like kind of stuck in the Jeep.
Yeah, and it's like hanging off a cliff a little. Yeah.
If you look up to the corner, the lion's at the top like pacing. Holy looking at
like, I wish you would come out of that car.
Like, come on, I dare you to save yourself from this cliff fall because what's coming is worse. Like, I don't see, like, okay, maybe he, it's like you got to get space. Like, if they don't have a point in the movie where he gets a break to think, that it's no getting away from that lion. But, like, if he gets, like, space and he sets a trap, then, you know, maybe he can outsmart the lion.
So you think it's an impossible feat for him to beat the lion and he and his daughters?
Not laying on your back jabbing at him. Hell no. So, hey, that's what these movies are for. It's going to be some weird twist.
Yeah. Speaking of...
One of the daughters can kill the lion.
Speaking of an impossible feat, we have Mission Impossible. See what I did there? Yeah, I led you there.
Tiny impossible feats.
Kang the Conqueror style. I led you to this point.
I paved the road. You merely walked it. Yeah, I'm about to start.
This is why I'm the producer.
But, Mission Impossible. I'm sorry. I've loved every movie. I haven't really had anything bad to say about any of the movies.
Me either. Like, and
they usually make decent sense, which within the realm of that reality, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
He does these missions that nobody knows about.
Yeah.
Crazy, impossible missions.
I'm not a Tom Cruise fan, but I'm a fan of
him.
This Tom Cruise movie.
In Mission Impossible.
I'm not a fan of any of his other movies or any of his other work. Interviews from him, I don't care for. But these movies, this is my movie. I'm ready to see it. To me, I put this above James Bond.
Above James Bond?
I put Mission Impossible above James Bond.
But they're really kind of the same kind of movie.
Yeah, they are.
But a different kind of spy, huh?
Which makes it easy to compare the two, which is why. And I think the reason why is Mission Impossible, he does a little bit more action than James Bond. James Bond is cooler.
Well, see, that's what I liked about James Bond was, well, not Daniel Craig, because he kind of ruined that whole.
Yeah.
But James Bond was so, like, it was always about how smooth he was. Like,
yeah.
His slick lines, mm-hmm. his tech. His freaking car that drives itself.
Because he's going to find the evil villain, play cards with him or something, and flirt with his wife the whole night.
And fuck his wife by his back.
Fuck his wife.
And then kill him at the end of the movie. Or arrest him. Like.
That's James Bond. Easily.
Matter of fact, if he's in a scene and there's a woman there, he's fucking her. That's James Bond. Like.
And she'll have some weird name. Like sugar tits.
Sugar tits, a lot of vagina. Octopussy. That's actually a real.
Yeah.
The Sean Connery
one. That's
what
I'm saying. They always have some weird name that says, oh, okay. We know what her scenes are going to look like.
So it was Octopussy and Odd Job. What were they doing?
Were they Octa Jobs?
But then they had his boss was Emmanuel's Bob, M.
M had M. M and M.
Yeah.
That's
what that was about.
Hmm.
And then she would feed him pregnancy pills and sleeping pills and tell him they were M&Ms.
And put him into his per spaghetti.
Go.
That's why he threw it up all over his hoodie. Now it's all making sense.
So speaking of impossible missions, okay, in that same league, looks like they're doing Andor, which that's a continuation of the Star Wars story that's like expanding larger than anything imaginable at this point.
It is. It is. But are you keeping up with each new story of Star Wars?
I'm trying to. I don't watch the cartoons anymore, mm-hmm. even though they're canon. So like you're supposed to be watching. Like apparently if you watched, I think it's Bad Batch, mm-hmm. that explains how the stormtroopers could break the brainwashing. Uh-huh. Also in that series, they cover how the Emperor had such a large empire and how he survived so many different things and the different secrets that he had. Uh-huh. So like, it's so much and so many details, but now they have Andor, which looks like it's a series that's almost a prequel to Rogue One, because mm-hmm. we saw a few of the characters from Rogue One that we know are dead now. And in the trailer, they discussed how they were starting to get spies within the Empire. So it looks like the show is more about these leaks where like the Empire was so big, like I think they said it in the trailer, like if you want to sneak into the Empire, just walk in there, act like you know where you're going.
Yeah.
Like, how would they know it's so many of them? Like, it's a galactic empire. Like, imagine you walk into a large bank and you're wearing a suit. They don't know if you work there.
Yeah, no, they don't know. You just walk upstairs.
So now you got, like, an empire with multiple galaxies. Like, come on. Like,
yeah. I'm here to see Stormtrooper 73.
Oh, yeah, he just left. Oh, yeah, you do the Stewie thing. Well, you see him, tell him, say, wugga, wugga, wugga. He'll know what it means.
Yes, yes, good estimates, good estimates.
But oh, I mean, man. Like, is there a limit to it? I mean, are you going to stop watching it?
Here's how they got me. Even though it's new stories that they're introducing to the viewers, they're still out of order.
Yeah, at some point, they got to come back and put an order to it. But I think they understand what I thought a long time ago,
which is,
so before The Mandalorian came out,
uh-huh,
they have a series on Disney Plus where it's just a different landscapes in Star Wars. Like they just go across the landscapes and mm-hmm. you can hear the animals in the background, the snow or whatever's there.
Yeah.
Like you can go to Vader's planet and it's just on the screen, just going around. Nobody's there. No people, just sounds and special effects.
Mm-hmm.
People love the lore. Like they want the details. Mm. Like I think probably after about Iron Man 2 mm-hmm. in the MCU, Disney figured, yeah, the fans will do the homework. If you give them the details, they're going to watch it. They're going to look for it. And now the job is deciding what should be a movie and what should be a series and choosing that correctly. Andor is definitely a series.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody's going to go to the movies to watch that.
True.
But sitting at home and you just decided, hey, I'm going to go back and watch The Pod Race. Oh, wait, what about this? And next thing you know, you're enthralled and you're watching a series that you thought you wouldn't be interested in, but you start to see the connections and how the story works and all these little details. Mm-hmm. And that's what's important. When they get the details right, it makes people want to watch these extra shows. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah. So, yeah. The shows kind of, like you said, it creates the lore. It helps extend it. And then do you think they're using this show to kind of bring us into a movie? Kind of like how they're doing Mandalorian and Boba Fett. Are they doing all of this to bring us to a point?
I don't know. Like, what could be the next movie at this point?
I don't know.
Like, because they've run the story all the way to killing the Emperor again.
Yeah.
Like, at this point, it's kind of like, the Jedi's, where could you go with a movie? But
it has to be like Batman. Either die a hero or live long enough to become the villain. The Jedi's become the villain.
They finally defeat the Sith and then they want to put a strong arm down so the Sith don't cut rise again.
Yeah,
and
they kind of, yeah, they kind of become like a monarchy, if you will, of the people or the universe, galaxy.
Led by Rey, Kylo Ren.
Mm.
Finn, maybe?
Finn would definitely have to be in the movie.
I can't lie. When they first put out the three last movies, and I saw Finn, I was 100% convinced that he was the lost child of Mace Windu, and he was going to rise up. And like, cause that fight with Finn and Kylo Ren, he, like, considering their levels of where they should have been, he handled Kylo Ren. Cause he was supposed to be dead in seconds, and he even hurt. He put a hurting on him a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, I was like, yeah, he's on his way. He's on his way.
And Finn has already expressed that he'll never be in a Disney Plus series. The only way he'll be back in Star Wars would be in a movie.
Yeah.
So maybe he knew something already. Maybe he's just kind of creating a buzz. It's a possibility.
So. But in that same realm of things, so right after I saw Thor, I went home and watched Civil War Team Thor. You seen that?
No, I haven't.
There is two short. Well, it's actually three now. So the first short is like while Civil War is happening, of course, Thor and Hulk were left out of it. So Thor is upset about it and he doesn't have anything to do. So he goes out, I think, to California and gets a roommate and tries to live a human life.
This and, is like, Party Thor.
Yeah, it's like a 7-minute little short. So he's living with this guy Daryl, and Thor is like the worst roommate, right?
I would imagine.
And then they even have a scene where he meets up with Bruce Banner, and he's like, did Tony call you and ask you for help, or did Cap get you joined? Because he just wants to be part of the fight, you know?
Yeah.
And then Banner's like, nope, haven't heard from him. But and like, then they get interrupted by Banner's phone ringing, and it's Tony Stark. He's like, Tony, I told you I'm not joining your boy band. I'm too busy. Like, I really was trying to get the Hulk to join, but nobody was calling Thor. And so it's like that whole jealousy thing. It's really funny skit stuff. And then he goes, so the Banner goes, you want to talk to Thor? Oh, no, you're too busy? Okay. All right. Talk to- And then so then they have a part two, which I didn't watch that one. I skipped that one to watch the part three because that's more relevant. So after Thor Ragnarok, of course, the Grandmaster, you saw how he was left on the planet.
Yeah.
The Grandmaster is Daryl's new roommate now. Like, he has the melted stick of destiny and everything. And so he basically, because, you know, Topaz, the Grandmaster's assistant, died in Ragnarok. So he makes Daryl his new assistant. And like, he's doing all this stuff for him, and he has the melting stick. And they actually have a garage band, and one of the guys is playing the wrong song. And then the Grandmaster's like, why aren't you playing such and such? And the guy's like, because I don't know that. And then they kind of flip, and the next scene is just like a puddle of goo where that guy used to be. And the other, and Daryl's like over the corner, like cowering. So like, it's just little funny nothings. Another skit they have like that that actually is good and it's homework you should watch is what's it called? Something the King. But if you watched Iron Man 3, you know that Trevor Flattery was an actor pretending to be the Mandarin, and when we saw the Ten Rings, we met the actual real Mandarin. So this series shows after Iron Man 3, the actor got arrested because, yes, you were on camera being a terrorist, so yeah, you're going to jail. But while he's in jail, members of the Ten Ring kind of break him out of jail, and that's how he shows up in Ten Rings later. Did you remember he was part of Shang-Chi? And the Ten Rings. So it's a little short. It shows how he got there.
Oh, okay.
It's like the little homework, like, and I think that's what Star Wars is doing, and you probably see more out of Marvel. All Hail the King, I think. Oh, okay. Called. Yeah. Yep. There
you go. All Hail the King. I'm looking at it. I see it.
So, yeah, I guess that's the way that they're going now. Maybe they don't need movies all the time, especially Star Wars. Because between the movies, there's giant gaps, like huge gaps. Like, I mean, you're talking Anakin turns to Vader and has twin babies. And then next thing you know, Luke's a teenager.
Yeah, there's a lot there.
Huge gaps, a lot of storytelling. So I think they're just going to focus on filling those gaps in. And then once those gaps are filled, we'll be on par for another movie. Like, it's plenty to watch, though, in the meantime.
Yeah, I agree. Well, ladies and gentlemen, This has been Leave Your Powers at the Door. Again, I'm your host, the producer, with your co-host, the Chris.
And remember to pick up your powers on the way out the door.
Cue the band.
Ladies and gentlemen, everything in between. Once again, I'm your host, Roscoe. Welcome back to Leave Your Powers at the Door with my co-host Chris. And Chris.
My power for the day.
What's your power for the day?
You have the big news, fool.
Be back there. You, Roscoe. Hi, Chris.